Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes you wake up, Evan, you sound a little bit groggy.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
You know, I was going to say, it sounds like you and Phil Moore hang out sometimes on Friday nights.
What do you mean by that?
Sometimes you guys have that, like...
As I say with a smile.
Very similar sort of delivery in the morning.
Well, it depends on the morning. And, of course, the morning really depends on the night. Yeah. Depends on how late in the morning the night goes. Now, last night wasn't too bad. Caught up after the show with... Jersey Ken came out to the old ship, Steining Goo. And then
old ship is down here, right?
Yeah, it's on Battery in Sacramento.
You know why those places are called Old Ship and have the shipping references down there?
Not Sacramento, but because they used to be. So that used to be the USS Arkansas, which I believe docked.
Yeah.
They were saying like in 1864 or something like that. So, but the old ship's
That's
on the waterline.
Shanghai guys.
Well, they used to. Basically have ships. Well, yeah, they did use to Shanghai guys, but the ships used to be on the waterline, which by the way is Montgomery. Like everything down is landfill.
Yeah, exactly. That used to be basically the shoreline.
But since people would just come to San Francisco, they would just leave their ship, and so those became either bars or brothels or hotels. And I'm pretty sure that's why there's so many old school, at least the ones that survived the fire. There's also a fun fact about that. I think it's why Jackson Square is one of the older looking areas right down in kind of, you know, downtown, a little bit north of Fidei, is because the way that the wind was blowing the day of the fire in the early 1900s, I forget.
1906.
Yeah, Great Quake. The way the wind was blowing that day kept the fire away from Jackson. And so that's why it's one of the few areas that is still, you know, brick and kind of an older sort of architecture, because it's the only place that was saved in that area from
that's
the fire.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, now, when you talk about the bars and the brothels, the good old days, like, you know, a lot of that was sort of a byproduct of the gold rush. Like, the gold rush, when you think about it, was never really sort of like there's gold in them there hills, so everybody came out west, right? And they were looking for their quick fortunes. The gold never really stimulated the economy out here. It was more of a farce. It was sort of like the way we're going to look back on Bitcoin at some point in our future. But what it did, it was all the offshoots of the businesses, the bars, the accommodations. Wells Fargo, I believe, started because of the gold rush, and all the opportunity because of the influx of people that all came to one area that created, out of that created all of what we sort of known as sort of the backbone of San Francisco today.
Yeah.
From a business standpoint.
Well, I think Wells Fargo's logo is a stagecoach, but also everyone that got rich during the gold rush didn't actually mine.
No.
It was everyone that would send miners to collect the gold. And they basically just kicked it in the city. Yeah. I mean, so if you were somebody that was, I guess is, you know, kind of how it goes. If you owned the miners, if you owned I want to say a lot of people got rich off of just selling mining tools. You know, they didn't actually reap any of the gold or whatever treasures were found up north.
Or a very small percentage of the people actually did.
They would just rent pickaxes and transportation, and they just cleaned house.
Yeah, and same with people that own property, that now suddenly you had to accommodate these people. There was just like everything from that because of all of these people thought that they were going to get rich quickly coming to the Bay Area or coming to the San Francisco region. And sort of everything that stemmed from that is how they sort of stimulated the economy. Speaking of ships, so they have these three ships that are docked at the Dolphin Club. There's the Balclutha. There's the Eppleton Hall.
By the SEALs.
And there's the Thayer. Yeah, well, so the Thayer just left for the first time, and I want to say...
Because of the SEALs.
65 years. No, a ship isn't going to leave because of SEALs, but maybe a swimmer would. So it left to Vallejo for the first time in decades. But what it left behind were all these crustaceans, which SEALs obviously feed off of. And it created this feeding frenzy. And that, along with the anchovies, which is sort of has a run this time of the year, has created all of the seal population that's now in the cove. So I think I was telling you this, that for the first time ever, I showed up to the cove today, and there was a sign in the sand that said, danger, swim at your own risk. Seal bites have been sighted or have been recorded in the area. Please beware, with the skull and crossbones. I'm like, oh, wow. Is that what we've gotten to?
Well, speaking of the seasons, I want to say that crab season got ended earlier than usual this year because there was a lot of fishing gear that was getting stuck and it was endangering wildlife. Like the humpback whales who migrated at that time of the year were getting caught in different fishing gears. And so they had to...
Is that now legal in state? Because I know...
I want to say it starts a little bit later. It ended in April of this season, but it ended earlier than normal or something like that.
Yeah, first Saturday of November to June 30th.
Oh, so we're coming up, Dano.
Okay, well, because I know that for a couple of years, that much like that of the abalone, you couldn't commercial or you could not... you couldn't throw nets or you couldn't pod for crabs. Unless you were a commercial fisherman. And I don't know if that's changed or not. And it had obviously something to do with the environmental concerns.
The big one out here is Dungeness, right?
Dungeness,
yeah. Gotcha. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on Crab Talk. No, if you want to talk about, look, we're taking all memories, all experiences. You know, just one thing that did hit me on Thursday at the Coliseum as we kind of get back into, I don't know, just...
What of a crab sandy? Oh, man.
Crab sandwich?
Oh, boy. That's when you're living.
No, but I've had a lot of...
By the way, East Coast and that Blue Point, whatever the crap they're
Maryland
eating out there.
Do not come down the road of Maryland Blue Crab.
Dan, come on, dude. You're touching a sensitive subject for those people out in Baltimore.
It's in dead pales in comparison, I'm telling you.
Well, it might pale, but it doesn't mean it's not good.
Well, I'm competitive. It's not as good as the West Coast. Our Dungeness will stand up.
I can tell you what, it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
It will stand up. Well, that's true. It will stand up to anything. By the way, I'm sorry. I'm trying to stay on point. I can't today. But speaking of Camden Yards, the Baltimore Orioles are just taking the pipe. What the hell happened there? You talk about a quick exit.
The Baltimore Orioles?
Well, it was the best
aren't
team.
Aren't they in the postseason?
Yeah, but that team will be out in round
one. Oh, I see. So you don't believe in the
do you?
The baby birds?
I mean, I did at the All-Star break. They might be the worst team since the All-Star break.
I can't tell who is who. Have you looked up and down this roster?
For Baltimore?
No, just look at their headshots. They're all the same. Jackson Holliday, was it Hurston Kerstad, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, and is it Cowling? Or Kowser. Sorry, Kowser. All of them look the same. There's five twins that play for the Baltimore Orioles, quintuplets, as they are now dubbed by yours truly, and they all swing exactly the same, except for Rutschman. I think he's a righty because he switch hits. They all swing the same. They all have the same plane path. They all have the same face and facial structure. Their cheekbones are too high, and half of them are blonde. I don't know what they got cooking up in Baltimore, but every single scouting department needs to be investigated because they basically just pick out the same people every single year.
It's like the Alou brothers all started in the outfield for the San Francisco Giants at one point.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because
Maddie, Philippe, And I'm going to say Jose. I don't have to look that last one up. Yeah. The Alou brothers once started in center, right, and left for the San Francisco Giants way back in the day.
That is pretty cool.
Gunnar Henderson is the only guy out of that entire lot that is actually, you know, somewhat legit.
Yeah, Rutschman.
Holding up his... Well, right now, though, everybody just went south for the last month and a half.
Well, Gunnar Henderson had, like, 30 home runs at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He's been falling off a cliff. I mean, he's been making Bobby Witt look like the next coming of Cal Ripken, not him.
But the Orioles right now went from the darling of baseball just a short month and a half ago to a team that's just trying to tread water.
Well, it is funny because I was reading that the Baltimore Orioles have not signed a top 50 free agent in the last, it might have been 10 years or 5 years, but they were comparing it with the Giants because the Giants, even though a lot of people are mad that they haven't got the biggest free agent, right? If you look at the wins above replacement from free agent signings, they've actually done pretty well for themselves. They are, you know, a top 10 team in terms of spending, in terms of getting players in free agency. It's just not the big, sexy names that you're accustomed to up until perhaps this offseason. But the Baltimore Orioles have not signed a top 50 free agent, and they are still going to be, I don't know if they're going to win 100 games this year, but they won 100 last year. And they have just completely remolded their entire organization.
It's the complete opposite of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, they don't dip into free agency.
Yeah, because the Giants, I'm with you, they have done well.
They've made trades.
With their free agents. But what's the one thing that Baltimore has done that the Giants have not? And developed their youth.
Well, yeah, they've also had the benefit of like three straight first overall picks. By the way, in a pre-lottery system, which is absolute trash because the A's have been terrible, but because they've been suckling at the teat of Major League Baseball's effective welfare program for the last umpteen years, now if you are on the proverbial baseball welfare, you do not qualify. You can't get a certain pick. You can't be in a certain placement. So if you're in the lottery system, the A's cannot get the number one overall pick because they're taking money from the collective bargaining agreement. And that didn't used to be the case. Even if you were still taking money, you still could qualify for the first overall pick, which is what the Orioles did. And
you did to grab a couple guys.
What's up?
You might be one of the only guys who really cares. I mean, I'm sitting here going, who the hell cares? But I say that. No, you know why I say that with a twinkle in my eye? Because at what point will that sort of fervor begin to dissipate the further they get away from the Oakland A's? Or will you maintain the passion for the A's, whether they're wearing laundry from Sacramento, Las Vegas, or wherever?
I don't know. Well, because, I know that we're the Warriors' flagship station.
Wow.
The Warriors did this too. Like, the Warriors left Oakland. Okay, so I know that they're here and they're in San Francisco and they're in a place that we love and a place that we cover, but they did the same thing. Now, they found a completely privately funded area to put themselves, but it isn't as if they didn't turn their back on Oakland, too. In fact, I think they might still owe them money. So, and Oakland Arena is still a great place to go watch a concert, but it was eroding, it was old, and there was a ceiling as far as the money that could be made there. So the Warriors took their team and went to San Francisco, and the Raiders left and went to Las Vegas. That's the thing that sucks, is that, for example, I would say the saddest team to move, at least in relation to my friends that I can remember, would be the Supersonics moving to Oklahoma City.
Mm.
And that was emotional, but you still have the Mariners. You still have the Seahawks.
Now you got the Kraken.
I mean, even Montreal moving to Washington
NHL,
in the mid-2000s.
Kraken shout out. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, now shout out Marshawn Lynch, one of the owners of the Kraken. Montreal still has hockey. What was the other city? It was, even going back into Cleveland, moving to Baltimore, because the Browns, I mean, they eventually got a new team, but they still had the now Guardians or then Indians. There's still other professional organizations in the area, in the city. That's no longer the case in Oakland. So what sucks, really, is the fact that Oakland has lost every single professional sports team where they once had three.
Well, and here's the issue. While Fisher is a bozo, I think we'd all agree.
Yeah.
The one thing that Oakland and the Oakland City Council and the people, the powers that be in Oakland, are also not the smartest kids on the block. Because I think that, and this often happens in cities that don't recognize the power of sports. And it's not relegated to just us in our little bubble where we're sports fans and talking to our own here. But there's the crossover, the people in politics that don't recognize what it is that sports can do economically for your city. And it's something you can't really quantify when you just put the A's after Oakland or the Raiders after Oakland. There's not a promotional tool. There's nothing that your Chamber of Commerce, there's nothing in terms of a PR team that could supply nationally, globally, and around the world a moniker as effective as that in terms of people wanting to go there, suddenly associating, oh, the Oakland A's are just, yeah, they won three games in a row. By the way, I haven't been in Oakland in a while. Hey, you want to take a trip? It's that word association, now that that's gone, you're going to recognize what that means economically for a city like that of Oakland that no longer has a professional team.
Well, I think a lot of cities also draw their identity from their sports teams. I mean, it's just so important to
What's
American culture.
What's Green Bay without the
Packers? Exactly. When you think of certain cities, you think of their teams, and the A's were one of those. The Raiders certainly were one of those, even though they played in multiple locations. And even the Warriors to some extent, though they were Golden State, they never took Oakland, but you thought of Oakland when you thought of the Warriors. So that kind of association has been stripped. You know, there's a piece of Oakland that is no longer there, quite literally, but also figuratively speaking. I don't know.
I think it just gets back to don't let the Fishers of the world buy a franchise.
I mean, I would love to say that that's the way we should go, but unfortunately, history tells us that unless he wants to, he ain't going anywhere.
Oh, he's not going anywhere at this point.
No.
I'm just talking about
Sacramento.
The future Oaklands of tomorrow, that this doesn't happen again.
Let's go out to Vallejo, talk to one of our main men, Skills, who wants to get in on the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone. What's up, Skills? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, Evan. Good morning, Dan. I just wanted to call because I was at the A's game, the final night game on Wednesday night, and I wasn't planning to go to this. I'd already written off that whole situation, but my buddy got last minute ticket, so I went, and I'm glad I did. Looking back, I'm glad I did, in spite of the sub-zero temperatures at the ballpark. it was, you know, because I'm a Giants fan. I've always been a Giants fan, but I've always supported the A's. I've been to as many A's games as I've been to the Giants games. And it was good to be there. It was sad in a way, you know, when he started chanting "Let's go Oakland" around like the sixth inning, and the kids were chanting it, and you know they were going to miss their team more than anything. And you know, I got a little—I won't lie, I teared up a little bit. But you know, that's you need a closure. At least I need a closure for spending so many of my youth going to that ballpark and adulthood. I want to just share a couple of quick stories with you that may or may not make you laugh. I went to the Root Beer Float Day in 2018. And I got to meet guys like Alex Savage from KTVU. Chris Davis was signing balls. He was still with the A's at the time. Met Dick Callahan before he passed away. Adam Rosales was with the A's. And the memory I take away from that experience was eating a deep-fried cricket at that bar they have there. It was salty, but it wasn't bad. No, I haven't gone out of my way to get more, but I just, you know, it's just one of those things that you just, you'll never try. Where you, how often are you going to get to try something like that? And then just real quick, I'll let you guys go. The last memory I want to share was going to an A's game in 2011. I took my mom out there. I think it was Mother's Day. It might have been. And you were mentioning the Orioles earlier. This happened to be against the Orioles. And at the time, Alfredo Simon, I don't know if you remember him, he was Tiger before. Mm-hmm. And Mike Gonzalez would be the closer for the Pirates was there. And they were warming up in the bullpen by where we were sitting. And there was a guy sitting about maybe 10 rows above us, and he was just on them. He just wrote from the time they got up to the time they got in the game. He just over the inning. Simon! Simon! I know you hear me, Simon! He just wrote them the whole time. And wouldn't, as you might imagine, I can't say for sure if it played a role, but both of those guys gave up the lead that day. Can't say that the haunting didn't hurt their performance. And I just, you know, those just memories from the A's. Those just two of many memories I'll have in the Coliseum. I'm going to miss the A's. I'm a Giants fan. I'm going to miss the A's. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Skills. Well, at least your boy wasn't heckling Frank Francisco. I don't know if you remember this, Dan, but in 2004, before they had the nets that extended all the way down the foul line, Frank Francisco of the Texas Rangers took the ball boy chair and threw it at a fan. who is heckling him down the line. I mean, there's just all those kind of random things that pop into mind. You know.
By the way, you could deep fry a pencil and people will eat it.
Yeah, I would probably. Oh, speaking of crickets, have you? Well, you probably have because up in Seattle,
I dated a girl named Cricket.
Excuse me?
She's from Las Vegas. This is when I was like 21.
That's her biological?
I'll just never forget that. I was like...
That's her government name?
Well, she was a stripper, so...
is there any deep fried experiences you'd like to share with us?
Go ahead. Oh, before you go on with your story, and I'll let you finish because
I was just going to ask you about a cricket, but
so
a different cricket.
You know what I? So from a broadcast. Oh, by the way, we got to get into Tom Brady
again.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I was in New York. So
you're coming around, are you?
So no. So I had the game. I had to tape the Niner game because I was in New York. And so the game they played out there was not the Rams. Remember, you were speculating, oh, it's going to be the Rams Niners. So you're going to get the number one team. Actually, the Fox number one team was Dallas and the Ravens.
He's only done Cowboys games so far.
So I got to listen to him from beginning to end. But just as it relates to the Oakland A's, like I love Bill King. Way back in the day, there was a guy from Fresno, I believe, by the name of Monty Moore.
Yep.
But somebody that goes unnoticed, that I really pay attention to these things, because when I was a kid, I would listen to a lot of radio play-by-play baseball, and this sort of thing would just be etched in my mind. There's a guy by the name of Roy Steele, who was their PA announcer.
Voice of God.
The best in baseball. I mean, the guy at Yankee Stadium and for Fenway Park were right there. Maybe I give the edge to the gentleman from New York.
Bob Shepard,
the Bada. Derek Jeter. Jeter, by the way, would continue that recording.
Yeah, the recording on that. That was great.
But Steele was in that pantheon. Steele was amazing. And that was the voice. When you're a kid and you're holding dad's hand, you don't realize it at the time. You listen to that PA announcer, it's just like, who is that man? Like, it just becomes part of you as you grow up. And Roy Steele, he just, you know, he had a very sort of inadvertent influence on, you know, my sports casting and probably a lot of other people's careers.
Well, and he was...
I don't want him to go unnoticed, by the way. Go ahead.
That's why I give
him a shout out.
Rest in power. I think he passed away a few years ago. But Roy Steele was the PA announcer for the A's for like 4 decades. And just that baritone just... Now stepping to the plate, number 14, Mark Ellis. I mean, yeah, those kind of things go unnoticed, especially when you're, I don't know, you just are so accustomed to them being there. You know, there's a lot of legendary parts about the A's and the fan experience. Oh, well, I thought Rooker had a really nice quote after the game on Thursday, which was basically, and you know, a lot of fans don't necessarily, you know, enjoy, let's say, the decorum or the aesthetic of the Coliseum. It's not maybe the prettiest place to go watch a baseball game, but you're going there just to watch baseball. And that's what Rooker was talking about. He was saying that there aren't many places across all of sports because there's all these major entertainment venues, these you know, Metroplex, just absolute monstrosities that are being built all across the country to entice people to come in for an entertainment event. Well, baseball's about baseball. Football's about football. Basketball, yada, yada, down the line. Not a lot of places you can still go and just watch the game. You know, the Giants ballpark is one of the most beautiful ballparks in the country. But I think a lot of people get wrapped up in just the fan off-the-field experience. Yeah, which was, well, you didn't have the choice at the Coliseum. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot going on.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
The Atlanta Braves have a zip line. In the outfield.
No.
A zip line.
Really?
No.
And so Mets game, you know, the Mets are always, you know, in Atlanta, and they'll be there on Monday for a doubleheader. But Keith Hernandez just absolutely despises it. He always, anytime they put a shot up of that zip line, he's like, what are we doing?
Can you rate?
Keith Hernandez is awesome as a color.
I'm sure he also loves the beat the freeze race. I think that goes on in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it does. I don't know how he feels about beat the freeze. I think he laughs at it, but yeah, zip line, no thanks.
Yeah, we still have yet to uncover where in the Bay Area.
Have you ziplined before? I want to do that in Costa Rica.
Yes, I ziplined. I think it was in high school. I want to say there's a place around the Bay Area that does that. It might be in North Bay.
I actually did it too, Dan, in your neck of the woods, the Big Island.
Oh, you did?
Fun times.
Oh, that's another place I hear.
He's not from Hawaii.
Well, he's Hawaiian. He's
What do you mean I'm
flying
not?
Hawaiian.
By the way, so in Costa Rica, you do it in the tree lines, but there's all these monkeys that are just like sort of jumping at you, and you can see. The other PA guy before we get out of here that I listened to when I was a young person was David Zinkoff, who did 76ers games. You got to YouTube this guy. He just was beautiful. I remember as a child going, why is that man yelling? Because you'd watch 76er games, and he would go, 2 minutes left of the ball game! What's wrong with this guy? But, yeah, that's an art, man. Shout out Roy Steele.
There are a couple broadcasting stories that I want to share on the other side, specifically about some Bay Area ones, because there's a few that...
Brady's Bay Area.
Well, he is, and I'm going to defend him until... Well, I die, but Dan won't, and we're going to dig into that on the other side. Get the boxing gloves out. We're going to broadcasting town on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I mean, the owner of the Los Angeles Angels is a scumbag.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I know, Ken. I'm back in the studio. I'm back in my seat. The only thing planned about this show are the copious amounts of coffee that I'm going to drink.
Get in the game.
I'm fine.
You realize you're into Margot Robbie.
Who isn't?
All right.
Okay, so I don't know if we want to go too deep into this rabbit hole, but the reason why she was brought up is because during the break, well, first of all, this game is live. The Yankees and Pirates are currently playing right now. And Paul Skeens is on the bump. K'd up Soto with 100 on the black on the inside corner. And, of course, every time he does something good, they pan to his, partner or girlfriend, Olivia, was it Dunn? LSU gymnast.
He's made more money in NIL than anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
More than Caleb Williams?
More than Caleb Williams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Fact check that.
No, I'm serious.
But
it's either her or the Cavender twins, who I know you're familiar with.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I called a couple of their games when they were at Fresno State before they transferred to the East Coast and became TikTok stars. And
one's still playing.
Shador Sanders, actually, $5.1 million.
Shador. Currently.
He's number one, but Libby Dunn, number two, $4
million. All right. Oh. Don't ever fact check me again, Ken, if I'm wrong.
Just like Shador Sanders, Dan's throwing his offensive line under the bus. But
I was so out on Colorado football. You know,
they stink.
Beat Nebraska.
And then,
they got blown out by Nebraska.
They got blown out by Nebraska. They
got
wrecked Hail Mary last Saturday.
By the corn shuckers.
Didn't they win?
They had a Hail Mary against
Baylor.
Wasn't North Dakota, but
Colorado State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. You beat the local state school.
No. They beat Colorado State, what Evan just said. But when they played Nebraska, they got wild.
Okay, they got smashed by Nebraska. But I want to say they won last Saturday on a Hail Mary.
They're 3-1.
Yeah, they won last Saturday on a Hail Mary.
Yeah, against Baylor in overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they still lost to Nebraska. I don't think they're very good.
No, they got smashed by Nebraska, but I know they beat something.
They barely beat North Dakota State. I'm looking at the schedule right now.
I thought they were going to be worse than they were.
Well, they still have time to.
I hope so.
Prove you right. I mean, I think they started last year pretty strong too, and everyone thought they were the darlings of football. Yeah.
And they ran into Oregon.
Well, they ran into the conference play is what they ran into.
You had all these celebrities like, how do I get to Boulder? Like it was suddenly the spot.
Didn't Dwayne Johnson I don't know what the first pitch version of for football, but he was out there on the sidelines. I mean, they got rappers
down there. What's
your
favorite Margot Robbie movie?
Ooh, probably Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah. Great call.
Yeah.
Great call. Good movie.
Solid.
Solid. Yeah. Not much more needs to be said. Although, she is a very good Harley Quinn. I don't know if you're into any of the DC movies, but Suicide Squad.
I tell you, Barbie was... I was down with Barbie.
I still haven't seen
Barbie.
I'm
just Ken.
Calm down talking about my whole...
Dick enough.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, by the way. I'm such a Quentin Tarantino guy. Like, Quentin Tarantino can do no wrong. You should see, I think I told you this, so Quentin Tarantino doesn't do a lot of podcasts. But
yeah, he also doesn't make a movie less than 3.5 hours.
He's done, by the way. He's retired. He's never doing another movie.
Well, yeah, because he spent all of his time making these long-ass films. Dude, I have to watch those in pieces.
You would appreciate him, because he likes to drink and smoke those funny cigarettes until he cannot move, and he is brilliant when he's stoned, man.
Brad Pitt did a fantastic Quentin Tarantino impression. I don't know. I don't know if it was at the last award show, but he was because every single time that someone does if you get a good take, you get a little thumbs up from Quentin, and if you do a great take, you did. Oh my God! Shut down the set. He throws his hands up and he runs around the same. Then he just talked about how great you are.
he's an amazing mind. Like so, he sits there with Bill Maher on this podcast, and so Bill Maher started this podcast and he wanted it to be like a club. And he didn't want anyone to know where the cameras were. He's like, let's just pretend we're kicking it downstairs where he created this bar atmosphere. Let's just pretend like we're hanging out like we always do. All right? We're going to smoke. We're going to drink. Don't even worry about the cameras. And so you can't detect where any of that stuff is. And he sits there with Tarantino. And they just get liquored. I am telling you, like an hour into this thing, it's just wild. But Quentin Tarantino's recall when it comes to movies... So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is where I'm going with this because I like Margot Robbie.
That is a great film.
Yeah. But he's just, I strongly suggest you watch, although Bill Maher, I guess he's sort of like, you have to go down some political lines and this being an election year. I don't, you know, that's not where I'm going with any of this. I don't know whether he leans left or right. I'm just saying it's an amazing podcast. Richard Dreyfuss is the classic. Richard Dreyfuss gets so drunk on this podcast that he's somewhere on the floor. Like he's sitting in a, he starts in a chair talking to Bill Maher, and then before you know it, he's like on the ground. Like, how the hell did you get down there? And Bill Maher's still talking to him as if nothing's wrong. It's good stuff.
I do know who that is, Ken. He got in my ear. It's a guy from Jaws.
Richard Dreyfuss.
And among other things, well, Close Encounters. That was kind of that was more of his best.
I haven't seen Close Encounters.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Opus. So, yeah.
Coming here right now, you'd be in Close Encounter. Quit fact checking us, Ken. What was I going to say?
Saturday mornings are a no fact check zone.
Yeah, this is.
I make half of this crap up.
Complete safe space. The one scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that will always live with me is DiCaprio going from the emotional scene where he's, you know, set up in kind of the Western with the little girl and he's talking to her before setting up the scene and then action. And he just goes into this emotional soliloquy that is just a perfect illustration of acting.
Yeah.
But he's acting the acting. And I've never seen anything like it. It was amazing.
Quentin Tarantino is, I mean,
He did Bruce Lee wrong in that movie, but that's fine.
I put Pulp. How did he do that?
Bruce Lee got his ass kicked in that movie.
He got chucked.
Did him wrong.
Bruce Lee would have wrecked that guy. Yeah. He did him wrong.
Shout out Chinatown here in San Francisco is where he was. I want to say he was born, so he's second generation. And then he moved to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Spent, I would say, his formative years, the majority of his years out in Seattle.
Well, he went to the University of Washington.
Yeah. But it all started out here in San Francisco.
Shout out Jeet Kune Do.
Enter the Dragon, man.
Pulp
Fiction might be my favorite movie. If I had to go
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite.
Whose motorcycle is that, baby? It's not a motorcycle, man. It's a chopper. We got to go. Whose chopper is it, baby? That's Zed's. Who's Zed? Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. Zed was the guy when they bring out the GIMP. That was Zed's.
Are we allowed to say that?
I love where this is going. Just keep going.
while we're along these lines, got to be Reservoir Dogs for me, I think. Steve Buscemi still has one of my favorite, and honestly, like, probably I abide by it still. He doesn't believe in tipping. Remember the conversation where they're talking about at the very beginning of the movie, Mr. Pink, Steve Buscemi.
It's funny you're wearing that sweater today.
Yeah.
You know me, Ken. They were talking about just the principle of tipping. And it goes into this deep philosophical conversation about how, well, you're not going to tip a guy at McDonald's. Why am I going to tip this guy at this diner? And, I mean, it is just... And I honestly adopted it for quite some time, but
that's the beauty of Quentin Tarantino was the dialogue.
Yeah.
How many? Because Pulp Fiction's about two hitmen, right? That basically are taking people out. This is Samuel L. Jackson and obviously John Travolta.
This is a tasty burger.
Yes, that was it was just the dialogue where they're driving and he's saying, "I just got back from Amsterdam." You know what they call a quarter pounder in Amsterdam? I mean, it's like that dialogue that you just got introduced to. This is a tasty burger. That's awesome. The Big Kahuna Burger.
We need to pivot to sports, but I'm just going to real quick. I love Hateful Eight. I mean, all the other ones you guys mentioned are great, but Hateful Eight is like Reservoir Dogs.
The opening scene in Hateful Eight is incredible.
It takes place in one room. I mean, there's a couple other side, you know, scenes, but where they're outside, but it takes place in one room, one house, and they're all just talking, and it's fantastic.
That's the beauty of Quentin Tarantino. Is Reservoir Dogs where he picks up the ear? He's talking into the ear?
Yes.
Yeah. Stuck in the middle with you?
Yeah. No, what I was going to ask you before we went down the Tarantino rabbit hole was about, so you spent a lot of time in Seattle, just like Mr. Bruce Lee, who also spent time in Oakland. Want to get that right as well.
Oh, he was O-Town. All right.
Yeah, I think he opened a school there for some time. Don't have my facts checked, Ken, please. But have you ever tried crickets? Have you ever eaten a cricket? Because they sell them at the Seattle Mariners games.
And deep fried or just a cricket?
No, they're like Chipotle kind of crusted. They're basically just crickets, but they're like chips. They're so good.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like if you, I don't know what's the movie? No, back to movies. I think in Hidalgo, he talks about like the locust swarm being a gift from the heavens in the desert because you can't find anything to eat, and so locust is just, you know, basically a bigger cricket, slightly different, but you can still eat it, and it's still edible, and it's still really, really good. It's quite crunchy.
You know what they put in their hot dogs out in Belltown? You know, they have these hot dog stands. Belltown is sort of where it's comparable to, I guess, maybe the Marina District. It's where you would go late night for someone like yourself, 2 in the morning, and you're crooked, and you're hungry.
You know I don't go to the Marina, Dan.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're sideways and you're hungry, instead of crushing a burrito as people want, may do here in San Francisco.
I did last night.
You go get a hot dog, but they put mayo on the hot dog. I was never down with that. Can't do the mayo on the hot dog.
Okay, so we have a sponsor for Odyssey that it's like, you know, mayo game day be great or something like that. Like Heffernan mayo, I don't know. But there's a mayonnaise sponsor for Odyssey. Who buys all the mayonnaise? Like seriously, who buys so much mayonnaise that we have to have a national sponsor for a giant tub of glue, basically, of edible glue that people, I don't know, look like they could lather themselves with. Do they fill up tubs with mayonnaise? It's disgusting.
It's a popular condiment. Probably, I would say, number one, beating out mustard.
Well, it's popular because you can use it to make different things. But mayo by itself is gross.
Well, who eats it by itself?
Apparently, a lot of people.
They eat it like yogurt out here, Dan. I don't know. Uncultured.
Also,
you lather it on bread. They put it on hot dogs. I'm walking down the ballpark at, you know, late night. They're putting it on top of these bacon-wrapped sausages. They're putting mayo on freaking everything. We've got to put a stop to it.
And according to John Travolta, they put it on their French fries out in Amsterdam. I seen it, man. They soaked that crap in everything.
Yeah, don't lend a phone during the entire movie.
See, that's actually pretty good, though. I've done that.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Mayo and fries.
I've heard of that.
Don't knock it until you try it.
Well, you can, like, I don't mind putting mayo if you mix it with, like, sriracha or, you know, another hot sauce and create, like, kind of a chipotle creamy sort of blend. That's fine. But mayonnaise by itself has no place in this world.
Chipotle. We're eating some chipotle. Go look at a Delonte West.
What was that?
Old YouTube. Delonte West at Taco Bell. He's in his car.
Is that where he worked?
No, he's, well, he might, hopefully, the poor guy, we wish him all the best. Yeah. But Delonte West, former NBA basketball player, started with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's one of the funniest dudes ever. But he is in line, in a car, drive-thru, with his friend, and they're waiting at KFC, and he does this freestyle rap on Chipotle. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see. And I want a little my Chipotle. Chipotle. Delonte West, KFC drive-thru. Google it. Done.
Well, this is from the 415. Shout out to our boy Murillo in Petaluma. Ever had deep fried mayonnaise balls?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, come on. I mean, yes, by the way, 925, I do tip. I was just being facetious.
Well, listen, man, I agree with you. So spending a little time in Europe, there's nothing better than to, like, get a big meal at a restaurant, good service, and saying thank you very much, and just you pay the bill and you walk away and nobody's angry.
Yeah, there's no expectation.
Especially tips.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, walking around Rome, just the smells that emit from these just gorgeous restaurants, even some that are just kind of like nooks and crannies in the side, and none of them expect much.
Yeah, but let me just
say, take shots with you, though.
So I've been on the other side in the service industry, and I'm not, I understand for anybody that's out there that's a waiter or bartender, the tipping here in these parts is very, very part of the fabric. And matter of fact, if it wasn't sewn into the fabric in terms of how it is that you make your money, which I think the consumer has to recognize, but in Europe, it's completely different is all that I'm saying. Listen, the service industry is where I live, man. I used to wait tables. That was my thing when I was in high school, college.
Yeah, damn it, Merle. That was a joke on the mayonnaise balls. But the other part about it, too, is that's what it really comes down to. It's built into the industry. Like, tipping is a necessary part of the service industry because that's how they make up for lost wages that are just a part of European culture. It's also easier to make. I mean, I was talking to this guy at a restaurant near the Spanish Steps in Rome, and he was basically saying, yeah, I live in the city. You know, I kind of live on the north side of town, but I'm a busser. You know, I get to cook every once in a while, but I pretty much just roll out every single night, serve you guys, help out, and I make a living wage. That's incredibly difficult to do in the city of San Francisco. So that's why I do tip. It's not because, I don't know, I love someone, but because they literally need it to make money, to make rent.
I was with a guy. This is terrible. I shouldn't even admit this because I did not like this person. He was a friend of a friend, typical hedge fund New York sort of person. And so
that's the crowd you roll with, man.
No, not at all.
What
especially
are you
people
about?
Like this. He lays out $100 in $5 bills and tells the waiter, "This is yours, right? If everything goes well, this is yours." The kid might have been a little bit late with the water, so he'd take a five off. And he would just mess with this kid, taking fives off the table, like, we're still waiting on our meal. It's been a couple of minutes, gonna have to take another five. I mean, it was just the most cruel thing I've ever seen in the world. By the way, somebody's saying Firebirds in Santa Barbara is the best food in the world when you're sideways. Kids. I'm just curious, wherever it is that you're from that you might be listening today, if you've had a few, what is your go-to? For me, I've said this time and time again, it's a burrito if I'm in San Francisco. And I'm going to La Cumbre. I'm not doing any of that regentrified yuppie crap on Valencia. If you were built in the last 10 years, I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to La Cumbre, where I have no idea. The guy's probably dropped my meat on the floor like three different times. I don't care. Tastes good with my beans and guac and sour cream at 3 in the morning.
I've been to this Santa Barbara Mexican restaurant in IV that was really good. The name escapes me. It might be
Isla Vista is where UC Santa Barbara kids have a tendency to frequent.
Or just go crazy in general.
Isla Vista was where Santa Barbara is, right?
Yeah. UC Santa Barbara. It's sort of kind of like the south end, I think, of that quarter mile strip, which is just absolute anarchy.
Cinco de Mayo still a big thing out there? Used to be the big party spot in Santa Barbara, Cinco de Mayo.
I haven't spent a ton of time in Santa Barbara, but I'll take your word for it. It's a big thing out here in the Mission. By the way, it's Freebirds, not Firebirds, in Santa Barbara. Wasn't Firebirds the name of the gang in Greece? Or am I off there?
T-Birds.
T-Birds, thank you.
I was one of them in high school.
You were a T-Bird? Well, you do have the look.
I was a
I say that with all due respect.
I was a thespian in my day. So, yeah, I was. We did a rendition of Grease. Terrible.
Oh, it is Freebirds.
That is Freebirds. Did you know that Ken is an art connoisseur?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of a...
pre-Renaissance?
Post-contemporary.
All right. Are you familiar with Mark Rothko?
He's more of a modernist.
No, I don't dive that deep, but I've done a couple of Arthur Miller plays, if that's what you're asking.
Nice. Well done. Death of a Salesman. And this is from the 925. I think you're right. Thinking of Fiesta. They stay up until 3 a.m. And Freebirds is the OG location in Isla Vista.
Well, you might be the perfect guy to ask. What's your go-to? I would say when you're sideways, so I may as well frame it. What's your go-to tonight at about midnight? Where are you going?
The thing is, in the city, there's not a ton of places that are open past 2 a.m. So, I mean, probably the easiest one. But that's because I live right near...
You're in a good spot.
Well, I live near Farolito, which is open, I think, till like 3 on 24th and Mission. It's right outside a bar. It's cash only. It's easy to get in, get out. It's not the greatest Mexican Farolito. Food in the world, but it's really good. And I
really,
also...
You can be gringo to a certain point, but Farolito...
Farolito. Okay, first of all, you said that like an Italian...
Hey, well, speaking of Italian, that's the thing. When you're back east and you're sideways, you just get a slice because they're every other block. And you get a slice that could feed a small family.
I usually go Mexican.
Your tongue. Here.
Yeah. RIP the dollar slice. No longer a dollar anymore.
$1.50.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, but that's happening everywhere. I mean, they have signs for Jack in the Boxes, 2 tacos for $0.99. They're like $1.50.
It's inflation, man. Speaking of inflation, listen, I'm not passing judgment on the unfortunate homeless of the world, but there used to be a song back in the day for like people that were homeless, like during the recession, the first recession, like 1929, the year the stock market crashed. And I think it was Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Mm-hmm.
Walking through New York and certain parts of San Francisco, guys want bills. Want me to write you a check, bro? Like, what are we doing here?
You coming down the road of Carl down by the block here?
Well, I think just, you know, give you, what happened to 50 cents?
Well,
you
know, okay.
Bills now.
When was the last time that you found yourself with loose change in one of those deep Dan Devone denim jean pockets?
That's true.
I mean, the only time I keep quarters on me is if I'm going to play 8-ball.
I'm more apt to throw some food that way. Like, I make a point of it to make sure if I can't eat. I have one thing I will never do is throw away food. Don't ever do that. Like, I make sure that somebody gets it, or I'll freeze it. I'll eat it at another point. Throwing away food is blasphemy to me.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be wasteful, especially when there are people out there that could absolutely use it. Although, I can't say I usually buy food for homeless people. I will give them money, though. And actually, cash...
What's the going right now? Are you throwing bills to people now?
If I have them, yeah. Yeah. Well, right. But also, I would say most of my loose change or dollar bills will go to street performers or street entertainers. So, like, this week at the Coliseum, everyone will always see... I forget his name. I met him one time. But he plays a saxophone on the BART Bridge after every single A's game. Mm. Or the majority of them. So, like, I gave that guy a 20 Tuesday, Thursday... Or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because I might not get to see him again.
See, now, if you're a sax player, you want to be indoors. So I've heard some of the best sax players that I've never been to a concert where it's been an exclusively a solo act by that of a sax player, like a Kenny G, although Kenny G doesn't, I don't think, technically play the saxophone.
All I know is Careless Whisper.
Well, Kenny, you know who Kenny G is, the worst perm in the history of perms. Kenny G.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a saxophone?
Yeah, okay. Looks like a, what is it? I'm sorry, a clarinet.
No. I was thinking of Ollie G. My bad.
So
shout out Sacha Baron Cohen.
So,
saxophones.
Saxophones. Oh yeah. So like if you go into Grand Central, there's some dudes wailing, but you need the reverberation.
Yeah.
So if you're outside on the bridge, you don't want to be dealing with the outside elements. Not when you're going sax. Like the sax can, like you can go hard indoors.
Well, there's also a lot of, I think, like, you know, kind of drum set setups, drum kit setups down beneath in certain BART stations. There's just honestly the ones that always amaze me are the dancers on BART. They'll come in and they'll bring their boom boxes and they're doing flips as the train is moving, because you know you're kind of sliding side to side. So the fact that they can still keep their balance and put their performances together is extremely impressive. So I'll give money to dancers. Not those dancers. I'll give money to street dancers.
Yeah,
I'll give money.
You got to support the lap dancers.
Okay,
come
cricket.
On,
all right. What are we talking about here?
By the way, lap dances, it's another thing. Inflation. My goodness. Let's chill a little bit here. What do we take another mortgage out of the house just to go see you people?
Well, see, I'm the kind of guy that wants to actually get to know the person.
That guy. Actually, okay.
Well, you know, if I'm going to be spending my hard-earned money on you, I want to at least know your name.
Speaking of BART, is the Coliseum still going to be a stop?
And not Cristal. Is it going to be a stop? Well, yeah, because you can still go to the Oakland Airport from the Coliseum.
But you're going
to
transfer. But who the hell's getting off there and actually getting off the train?
I do. Oh, you mean like just around the surrounding areas?
Yeah. Where is it that you're going to go? Because now what are you going to do with that?
People live there.
Yeah, but the bridge that would connect you essentially to the Coliseum, right? Like, what is that going to serve now?
So technically, the Coliseum will house the Oakland routes, I think, starting next year. It's not as if they're going to destroy it, at least yet.
No, I know, but...
But, well, people will go across the BART bridge to go to concerts, to go to venues.
That's true.
Go to different things. And we are going to go to our last hour of the show, 9 to noon here on 95.7 The Game. Also, make sure to stick around because starting at 12, at Freedman's Appliance in Concord, Joe Spadoni, Sam Lubman, Matt Steinmetz are going to be live on air taking you an additional 3 hours, live and local, all day on 95.7 The Game. We're going through about everything that they're not going to touch.
Let's get into Aiyuk and his shorts. What are you thinking, man?
Well, I don't want to get into his shorts, but we can talk about his shorts. Coming up next, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you on 95.7 The Game.
Dan had a girl named Cricket.
Excuse me? What's her government name?
Well, she was a stripper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.